Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Are you uninsured in between the ages of 40 and 64? The Cancer Services Program of Columbia Green Counties offer free cancer screenings. You could be eligible for free clinical breast exams, mammograms, pap smears, and colorectal screening tests. There are many local doctors to choose from. To find out more, please call the Cancer Services Program at 518-822-8741. Early detection is the best prevention. Cancer Services of Columbia and Green is a program of the Healthcare Consortium and is funded by the New York State Department of Health Cancer Services.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part for the generous ongoing support of Sam Sebrin of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Welcome to Music of Recent Centuries. Today is a very special program. We have Timothy Dunn in the studio with us to discuss some music. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Miles.
How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks so much for inviting me down here.
Oh, it's great having you. So do you want to just talk a little bit about like your background, kind of?
Yeah, I should probably say that music that you heard just now, the music that you just heard was the first movement of my piano concerto that I completed in 2013, and it was recorded in St. Petersburg, Russia, where I actually lived and studied for 6 years, from 2002 to 2008.
Great.
Yeah.
That's incredible, and I think I had the mic off, so this is Timothy Dunn.
Ah.
And
I'm
he's
back.
A composer, yes.
Okay.
Now some of his music. So do you want to just discuss a little bit about like kind of how you went about writing your music? Is that a...
Sure, yeah.
Like what kind
of... I actually began that piece a long time ago. It was really my doctoral thesis, as it were. Hmm. I got a doctoral of musical arts over there at the conservatory. And so it was it was the one... work that I presented for that doctorate. And so I began that in, let's see, I believe that 2007, that movement that we heard. And my influences there were large influences in the music were probably Bartok, Béla Bartok,
yeah.
And another Hungarian, George Ligeti.
Hmm. Yeah. So that was performed. Do you want to just say who was?
Yeah, it was the St. Petersburg Chamber Philharmonic, and it was performed. Actually, the solo piano was performed by James Giles,
interesting,
who is on the faculty of Northwestern University in Chicago, and is a great friend of mine.
Interesting. Yeah. So that was. I really enjoyed the piece. I haven't heard a lot of more modern classical,
mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to hear more modern classical music.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny term, right?
Yeah, modern
classical. We were talking about that before. It's hard to sort of give a definition to new music today,
yeah.
And I guess the reason why people struggle with that, where they say contemporary classic or classical or modern classical, is because they are acknowledging the roots of the history of their music, going backwards into the era that we call conventionally as classical music,
which changed
a lot in the beginning of the 20th century.
Similarly to how we were talking before about how the music isn't necessarily the same, but it has the kind of influences of those who are in
most definitely
so we have a bunch of pieces to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're mostly...
I brought pieces because it's hard to, when you and I, we love classical music, and there are probably hundreds of pieces easily that we would want to listen to. It's sort of hard to make a choice. And an easy way to go about that for today was just to choose a couple, because there actually are many, of the composers who have influenced my writing. And they are... Well, probably three at the top would be Igor Stravinsky, and I'm not alone. I'm with thousands of other people, composers that were influenced by Stravinsky, probably. And then George Ligeti, and another fantastic composer who unfortunately died young and recently. That was Oliver Nussen, yeah. A British composer. Who did a lot of work, by the way, at Tanglewood, was not only a student there, was on the faculty and ran the Contemporary Festival.
Oh, really?
For many years. Yeah, he was an extremely important person, not only at Tanglewood, but throughout the world as a conductor and composer. And I've always loved his music, and so I brought some of that music along with me today.
How long ago was he working at Tanglewood?
I think he was... Well, he would go there every summer, but I think it was in the 90s, late 80s and 90s, where he was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, was appointed the director of the New Music Week, the Contemporary Music Week there at Tanglewood, and taught there many summers.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go to school right near Tanglewood, so.
Yeah, that's right. You go to Berkshire Country Day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice, too. Know somebody who actually was at Tanglewood. Do you do anything at Tanglewood?
I don't do anything except go as a patron these
nice.
Days.
Yeah.
Which is nice because I'm just 20 minutes away. And
yeah.
It's one of my favorite things in the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to go on to another piece, or do you want to talk more about...
Maybe we'll play a piece by Nussen,
yeah.
And maybe talk a little bit about that. And
yeah.
And then we'll see. We'll take it from there.
Okay.
What do you think?
That sounds great.
Okay.
And before we move on to that next piece, I just want to mention that WGXC is in a pledge drive right now. So we are looking for support. And if you would like to pledge to keep this great station going and keep this show going, you can call now to 518-697-7400, or you can go to wgxc.org/donate and pledge there. So yes, and now we will go back and move on to our next piece.
Okay.
So here it is. And here it is. Okay. Okay. Well, that was a.
That was a piece. That was awkward. No,
yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
That's fine. Did we miss the end of it?
No, I don't. No,
oh, we didn't. Okay,
no, no.
Great, fantastic. That was a short piece by Oliver Nussen. It's called Notre Dame des Jouets, which is something like toys of Notre Dame. And the idea, there's a couple ideas behind that title. It's the piece is one of two so-called organum for that he wrote. This one in particular is called Organum for Music Box. And the actual, the original idea was to write for... there was there was, let's see, there was a project devised by the American Dutch composer Ron Ford, and it was to create music for a music box. He was a friend of Oliver Nussen, and Nussen agreed to do that. Yeah, but this is the orchestral version that we heard from a chamber orchestra.
It's interesting because you can kind of hear, like you could hear it kind of like being played on a music box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
There's a simplicity to it. There's actually, it's just one line. It's one musical melody that's repeated in different durations through the whole piece. So there's, if you looked at those, the different lines, let's say, for example, there are flutes in here. There's oboe, there's bassoon, there are horns. There's a celeste, which is that bell-like keyboard instrument you hear in the Nutcracker Suite, right, by Tchaikovsky. And then there's a string section. And they're all playing the same melody. It's just that they're playing at different speeds.
Different speeds, kind of different cool note lengths, maybe, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, different durations throughout the whole piece.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and it is very playful. And I actually, it's one of my favorite short little pieces.
Yeah. And we were thinking before of maybe going back and listening again after we discuss. I don't know if is this a piece we might want to do that with after we're talking about it.
Yeah, I think we should do it with this one.
It's short and it's nice to listen to again.
Yeah, you can hear the melody pretty clearly in the beginning, and if you can hear this on the radio and you have the imagination for it, try to hear the longer notes as belonging to that faster melody that we hear in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we give another shot?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep. Okay, should I stop? Okay, that was just a little hiccup. Now we're on to the
Here we go. Okay.
Okay, that was our second take of the piece after discussing it a little bit.
Yep, the name of that piece is Notre Dame des Jouets, obviously a French title there. It also, what I didn't mention before, is that there was a school, so-called Parisian school of composition in the 12th into 13th centuries. And some of the rhythmic techniques and harmonic techniques that the composer Oliver Nussen used in this short work were actually taken from some of the principles of writing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, back in that ancient time.
And that's something that he knew about and he was
definitely
thinking about.
When you study music, music history as a musician in a conservatory,
you always
go through that period where you study the Paris School. And it's really exciting music. It's very rhythmically vigorous. And even if it seems that harmonically and even maybe melodically, it's a bit on the not simple, but old and kind of
old,
edgy. side. It's the rhythm of it is really really compelling, and there's a lot of movements helped along by the fact that they did use part of the principles was using different durations at the same time. So that means that there's a push and pull going on.
And that was something that the Parisian school that influenced that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. The school of Notre Dame, the Notre Dame school. Yeah. And I used some other elements of this little piece I used in the opening piano concerto that we heard, my piano concerto in the beginning. And that is that, or I used some variation on that. In this piece, there are only white keys used.
Interesting.
Yep.
And on a piano, does that mean there are no accidentals or
that's
notes
right
out of the key?
That's
signature?
Right, yeah. So it kind of like, it's not really
complicated.
Yeah, it's not chromatic, and it doesn't even follow the harmonic patterns of traditional harmony.
Yeah.
It just sort of floats around like on the white keys, like no key is really the wrong note.
Yeah. Have you played it before?
No, but I've studied it. Yeah. I brought the score today.
Yeah.
We talked about.
Talk
I brought
about
a couple a couple scores. I have a couple Nussin scores with me here. And
that's an interesting tool to have. I haven't had it in the studio before, but that's nice to be able to look at between the piece and discuss it a little bit. But I really like that piece.
Yeah. One of the reasons I like Nussin, because first of all, probably exemplified in that last piece, he has a very playful quality to his music. One of the aspects of his music is that it can be very playful. It can also be quite modern. He was a champion of the American modernist composer Elliot Carter.
Oh.
And Carter's music is notorious for being extremely chromatic, that is extremely thorny.
Yeah,
you could say harmonically, in a certain sense, and very difficult, very challenging music for both the musicians and audiences to hear.
Thorny can be sometimes hard to
to digest. At least, even the way we often go to concerts is to go to concert
enjoy
once. You go once, and you listen to maybe a familiar Beethoven symphony that you've heard many times before, or something in a romantic 19th century style, which is going to be, it's going to be very lush and beautiful and dramatic, and you're ready to hear that. But very infrequently, we're ready to hear new music that's very thorny just one time.
Yeah, and something you want to revisit multiple times.
Yeah, revisit and sort of understand what's going on. Sometimes I'm a big believer in going to rehearsals. Because in rehearsals, you see the music being broken down, and you start to get an idea of how what is important in the music and what's to be projected.
For you, have you ever gone to like a rehearsal of a piece that was one of your pieces that was going to be performed, or is that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is that interesting to see them?
It's interesting and can be nerve-wracking too.
Yeah.
But it's of course it's fantastic. The first time that you actually hear it. It's an incredibly like gratifying moment.
Yeah, to hear them working through it.
Yeah.
Playing it for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. I did a camp once for composition, and at the end, there was a string quartet that performed our pieces.
Oh, that's fantastic. And where was that?
That was actually in Hudson at the Opera House.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting to hear them working through what you spent so long working on and just listening to maybe through playback or not listening to it all on the piano.
Yeah. So, we could probably maybe listen a little more to Nussin, but maybe we could switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, we can mix it up. And
How about listening to some music by George Ligeti?
Okay.
You mentioned
he was an influence of yours.
Yeah, he's influenced many, many composers. I mean, he's arguably the greatest, or he's among the greatest late composers. He died in 2006, and he's just such an interesting composer. He had a very interesting life. He was a great innovator, amazing, not only technical ability at writing, meaning He knew his counterpoint. He knew orchestration. He knew the repertoire coming before him. But his imagination was just like unstoppable. He was known for very fantastical and outrageous pieces. Yeah.
Outrageous being hard or hard to listen, difficult to listen to,
very satirical, often very satirical, and extreme in volume, both quiet and loud, and also a little absurdist. There was a aesthetic movement in Eastern Europe in the middle 20th century, and he was from Hungary, was very sympathetic to absurd and satirical works, whether it was in theater or in music or in painting.
Yeah, interesting.
Or poetry, yeah.
We should listen to the piece, a piece of his, I guess.
Right.
Then.
Why don't we listen to another white on white piece? It's actually called White on White. It's one of his many 18 etudes for piano that he wrote near the end of his life.
Oh, interesting.
And, yep. And you'll hear Ligeti was influenced. His influences were very disparate. They came from all sorts, parts of life, from his native Hungary to West African music to Southeast Asian music. He was influenced in some ways by minimalism, that is, music of Steve Reich, Philip Glass, in some way, or the ideas of minimalism. He was very moved by. Also, he liked listening to popular music sometimes, and he apparently loved the old 1970s 80s group Supertramp. So he had amazing range of influence in his music,
and just knowledge of music that's around him.
Yeah, and it all wove together into beautiful sort of crystalline works. So I'd like to play this one. This is White on White, Etude 15, and it's performed by Pierre Laurent Aimard, who will be coming to Union College, actually. He comes there to the Union College concert series every couple of years, and I believe he's coming again this year. He's a fantastic French pianist.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, well, here it is.
Thank you.
Okay, that was...
That was White on White.
Yeah.
The 15th piano etude by George Ligeti.
Yeah, I really liked the first movement of it.
Yeah, we were saying while the music was playing, I was talking about how it's actually, it's what's called in canon, right? So the first note is repeated when...
the next note, after the next note.
they're different voices. Yeah. They're different voices, right? They're different lines going on in the music. And each time there's an entrance, that new entrance is actually repeating the note that was before it in another voice.
Yeah. Different kind of part of the... Yep. It's higher up, but it's the same.
Yeah, and that's related to the other works that we heard by Nussen. Not only in that sense... that there is what's called counterpoint going on.
Yeah.
But that it's all on white notes as well.
The first part, but then we were...
Even the second part, about three quarters through the second part, you hear this introduction.
We didn't catch one.
A black key, and then a few more. And I think that was just, that was Ligeti breaking system.
Yeah.
You know, breaking... one concept in service of art and something to make it interesting. And to highlight maybe the fact that it was all on white keys before that.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece.
I also like the kind of the contrast between the two movements, of course. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it generally works. There's a little bit of a difference, but in that piece, I really like that contrast.
Of course, in the 20th century, because there's a lot of rhythmic drive in that piece, in the second part of that piece. The great Stravinsky was probably the master of that driving rhythm of the 20th century, as maybe Beethoven was in the classical era. I have a work by his, Stravinsky's Fireworks, which is an early work.
Oh, yeah. I've heard it once before, I think.
Yeah.
And it's
it's a very, I would say, entertaining work. It's a smart little work, but it's light, like fireworks. It's itself, like true fireworks. It's this sort of a dazzling, quick display. And then maybe we'll follow that up by a kind of a take on that, a riff on that piece by Oliver Nussen called Flourish with Fireworks.
Interesting.
So we could compare the two.
Okay.
Because Nussen's work, which he wrote, I believe, in the 1990s, maybe? Yeah, the 1990s, was directly like making a commentary on that earlier Stravinsky work.
Cool.
Yeah.
So before we dive in, I'll just say again, I said it once, but...
Say it again.
Can't stress enough how important it is for you to pledge to this great station to keep this show and all the other great shows on the air. And if you'd like to do that, the number is 518-697-7400, 518-697-7400. Or if you don't want to call, you can still pledge. You can go to wgxc.org/donate and pledge there. Okay, well, there's that. Very important.
Should we play some Stravinsky?
Sure, let's play some Stravinsky.
All right.
And here's some Stravinsky. We'll be right back. Okay, that was the Stravinsky's Fireworks.
Fireworks, Opus 4, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's very early on.
Yeah,
it's
very
four.
Early. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to follow that up right away with Oliver Nussin's Flourish.
Talk about them both.
Yeah, Flourish with Fireworks.
Okay, great.
Let's listen to it, okay?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, here it is. Okay, that was, wait, what was
that? Was Flourish with Fireworks.
Yeah.
Which was another short piece of Fireworks based on Stravinsky's work. Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's by Oliver Nussin.
You can really hear the resemblance to the first piece. They're similar.
Yeah.
They're not, obviously, but...
Yeah, he also took the structure of the piece.
Yeah.
You heard, like, in the middle parts of both pieces there was this sort of more lyrical laid back part to
and
it,
and then there's kind of a finale
and a big
similar to like a real fireworks
smash up finale. And he also took some of the themes and played with them, turned them upside down, and did things to them that you can do as a composer to have fun with music, you know, music writing, that is. I think one of the beautiful things about Nussen is that he was just a master orchestrator. And was looked to the 19th century, the great composers of Wagner and Strauss, Stravinsky, early Stravinsky, and Brahms, and his, even though he has a very modern sound in harmony and modern ideas about time and rhythm, the actual orchestration is really rich and really satisfying, that same way that some of those great composers of 19th century were satisfying.
Yeah, that piece sounded less like, it was still sounded modern, but it sounded less modern than the other piece we
There's something about his music was just like, it doesn't have a real edginess that a lot of modern composers seem to have in their music. And he was known to be just an amazing conductor. He was an amazing conductor. He was known to have an amazing ear. Like there's a story that someone, I think from the London Sinfonietta, who was the orchestra who was just performed that piece.
Yeah.
Someone said that once in rehearsal he could tell, like, the third flute that they had one note off when the whole orchestra was playing at the same time, and they were playing a chord that was so dissonant you could barely understand what was, you know, what the chord was, and he stopped them and said, "No, I think you know, flute number, you know, the third flute. I think that was a C, not a B that you played."
Would he be would he conduct his own?
He conducted those recordings, and he conducted all around the world.
But he would conduct.
He was known as a great conductor.
He would conduct his own music.
And he would, yes, and others would as well. But he was.
That would be interesting to conduct your music and really see how it.
There are a lot of people who do that, and sometimes Philip Glass began that way, in order to get his music performed. And back in the '60s, he started his own group, and conducted the group.
Yeah, that's interesting how that happens. Mm-hmm.
Have you conducted before?
No, I haven't.
No.
Not. No, I haven't. Myself, maybe, but other than that, no.
Maybe you will. What time do we have left?
We have about 10 or so minutes.
Yeah. Would you like to hear some, maybe just a little more of George Ligeti's music?
Yeah, that would be great.
I brought along with me today a couple of his so-called nonsense madrigals. And he wrote, let's see, how many? Five pieces in madrigal form. It's a late Renaissance and into Baroque form for a cappella choir.
In these
madrigals there are six voices. It's all sung by men, but you'll hear it's an all male a cappella group, the King Singers. Although you'll hear some very high voices, some alto, male altos. As I said before about Ligeti, he had an incredible imagination and sardonic and witty and also dark imagination in a good way, in a very artistic way. And he's taken in some of the madrigals, he's taken children's rhymes and children's like literature from Lewis Carroll, for example, and put it to music.
That's funny.
But one piece I'll play. That said, I'll play you a really beautiful piece. This is a gorgeous, really piece with the text simply made out of the alphabet.
Interesting.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just the alphabet. You like to hear that?
Yeah, here it is. The alphabet. Okay, that was a voice piece.
That was a magical one of five nonsense magicals by George Ligeti. That was called The Alphabet, and the text that was just derived the from the alphabet.
That's so interesting how the alphabet.
Yeah, went. The alphabet. It's cool. When you look at the score, you see that the alphabet, the text, is written out in what is called IPA, International Phonetic Alphabet, so that there are all these interesting, curious symbols, which is a written language in order to help people pronounce in phonology, to pronounce the right sound. Yeah. Singers, usually in conservatory, singers study that for a while because their teachers help them with a diction of so many foreign languages that they have to sing in, and how to place the sound in their voices.
Yeah.
And how to create the right tone, the right vowel, the right consonant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very interesting piece.
Yeah.
And so we're already at that time where we're coming
how
to
sad.
Coming to a close. It was really great to have you.
Thanks so much, Miles. It was really cool being here.
Yeah,
today.
I'll have to have you back again for a part two.
That would be awesome. I'm just up the road, so anytime.
Yeah, part
great.
Two. So we're going to close off with another one of Timothy's pieces.
I think I'll close off with the piano concerto that I began.
Oh,
with
great.
Since a lot of the music I played today was, you know, there were some similar themes in it, and I think this
cool.
This movement, the first movement of my piano concerto, so also captures some of those themes as well, some of the ideas.
So yeah, just thanks again.
Sure.
Make sure to tune into Music of Recent Centuries on the third Sunday of every month at 7 p.m. And I look forward to having Timothy back for a part two. So here is his piano concerto. Thank you.